Episode number 255, Rebounding After COVID with Sean Reese. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
This is the Making Sunday Happen podcast, where we help you transform the worship experiences at your church. From first impressions, worship, production, volunteers, teaching, we touch all aspects of the worship experience on this podcast. And with our ministry, 1230 Media, through media content and training, we want to help you with your worship experience, both in person and online. This week's episode of our show is brought to you by Minnow, and Minnow offers incredible media content for your kids' ministry. They've also produced some great church-at-home virtual experiences that kids can engage with every single week. The church-at-home videos, they're about 30 minutes in length, and they're perfect for an online worship experience environment. But they're also great. So if you're a church that has a physical gathering, but you have not opened your kids' ministry yet, this is an idea that you can load these videos up on your phone and give your kids earphones and have them watch this 30-minute programming for kids with biblical values, great engaging kids' content, while you are engaging in the adult worship experience. So it can work both online and might be a solution if you have your kids in a physical worship experience with you. You can check them out online at gominno.com to learn more. That's gominno.com. Well, today on the podcast, I welcome a member of our 1230 Media team. Sean Reese will be in the house. Sean works on our team to provide design and video direction for our custom media projects to dozens and dozens of churches every single month. He has experience in communications, marketing, video, filmmaking, and more. He's been on staff at some large churches around the country, including Faith Promise in Knoxville. You'll hear more about that and his experience at being on a church staff there at a larger church, so that you can kind of get a sense of what a multi-site, multi-campus environment looks like, especially after COVID. So I'm talking with Sean today about how our churches can rebound, your church can rebound after COVID-19. So today is more of a family episode. It's going to be very informal, just me and Sean hanging out, talking through how to measure your church attendance, how to think small, how to be consistent with your worship experiences, and more. That's today on the podcast. So my conversation with Sean is coming up in 30 seconds. Check this out.
It's Minnow Church at Home. Experience the always awesome love of Jesus. There's a new episode every week with worship time, Bible stories, off-screen activities, and more. Join us every Sunday on Minnow.
Hey guys, today I welcome Sean Reese. Sean is our creative director at 1230 Media. He does a masterful job of helping our team with ideas, scripting, the look and feel of graphics and videos that we create for churches and ministries and more. He's also an avid skateboarder, I hear. Is that right?
No. I tried it once. It did not work out well. I was a rollerblader. That's a funny story. Okay. When I was in high school, I loved rollerblading. Could not stand up on a skateboard. Went to a skate park at a camp in California. Went to a camp, and it happened to be owned by Tony Hawk.
Oh, cool.
And I went down this half pipe. Had to be a 30-foot half pipe. Never been on it before. I was on rollerblades. I thought I was going to die. I went straight down, straight back up, flew up. My arms were flailing. And then I just like somehow landed on the top of the other side of the half pipe. And this dude came over to me and I was so shaken up. I didn't even think of it. He's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "He's like, nobody ever goes on this thing unless you're like pro." And I'm like, And then I was like, shake. I was like, okay, I got to go. And so I got down, and my friend came up and goes, you know who that was? No, he goes, that was Tony Hawk. I was like, what? And I looked back. It was. I saw it. He was just hanging out, doing stuff. And I was like, he never comes to places like this.
Wow. So, wow.
Yeah.
That's, he's got a new master class out teaching skateboarding.
I guess that? I need to take it. No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know, see it on social media or whatever. But, well, man, you just got back from Universal. We were talking about that. And, man, they redid the Terminator, ride, or it's not really a ride. It's more of a show, to a Bourne Identity thing. We were talking about Terminator. So do you go way back to Terminator? Are you a Terminator fan or?
Oh yeah, man. I own the originals. Watch them at least once a year, sometimes more. Yeah. Depends on my mood.
Okay, but, so this is not a trick question, but you have to get it right, okay? Which one is the best?
The second one.
Absolutely. Okay, all right.
100%.
All right. Our friendship is left intact, my friend. Good.
There you go.
Good. Well, what was your favorite thing to do at Universal?
Honestly, man, it was that new ride. It's called the Bourne Stuntacular. They haven't opened it yet, so it was just in their rehearsals. It was technical rehearsals. So the one I went into, they didn't have the flame effects on, but man, they had a screen in there, and you could hardly tell the difference between the screen and reality. They interact with the screen, 3D set pieces coming out. I mean, they're climbing up on top of buildings, skyscrapers. You can see them like shooting through, like flying through on helicopters. It's insane. I mean, you feel like you're actually in there, and you don't leave your seat the whole time.
Wow.
You ever go, I waited an hour and a half in line for that. The only line that was there, waited an hour and a half, and I would do it again. It was absolutely worth it. Wow. So,
wow. I have to check it out. All right. So you've traveled around some, even with the COVID. Yep. You were saying at Universal you had to, you know, wear a mask the whole time and things like that. So what's your kind of take on where we are? Do you think in church world we're kind of taking a step back? Do you think that churches are, you know, obviously gradually going in? Are we going to pull that back? What's your temperature check?
That's a tough one, man, because so many areas, like the area I'm in, there's not a ton of cases. Like, we're seeing them here and there, but, I mean, it's just not – when I was
in Florida – And you're in Knoxville.
Yeah, I'm in Knoxville, so there's not a ton. I mean, I think right now we have, I wouldn't even guess, maybe 50 active cases, where, you know, some places there, you know, are 1,000 active cases. It's just, it's not the same here, but.
I heard Tennessee is like number two on, from a state perspective of.
Yeah, but I mean, you've got like Nashville, you got Memphis, you know, the bigger cities that are, you know, all the protests and stuff are happening in Nashville, which, you know, I don't want to, I'm not sure this is the right place to dive into all the protests and all that stuff, but without saying anything else, that's probably not helping the spread.
Right.
Right. And so that's, you know, so you've got stuff like that. And I think churches, whereas church, one thing, it's just going to depend on where you're at, what it looks like. Something that are we going to go back? I don't know, man. I've talked to a few doctors, a few friends of mine who, you know, are in the medical field and stuff. And they're saying, you know, we're looking at 18 more months of this kind of stuff. Even with the vaccine, you know, you're saying maybe the vaccine will come out by the end of the year. Who's going to take it? Who's not? I think that we are definitely not going back to normal. Right. And I don't think we'll ever go back to normal.
Yeah. I don't think so either. In fact, that's the main reason I wanted to have you on a chat with you is because I think, this is just my opinion, I think that no matter if we quote unquote go back to normal, online is here to stay. I mean,
yeah,
you have to pour energy into both your in-person and your online experiences.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, give me your take on that. Do you think, how much energy should we be pouring into both venues?
So, I actually, where I'm at right now, I am the online campus pastor, so I run the online campus and I run the marketing. So I'm kind of in both worlds when it comes to ministry. And something that we've been kind of struggling with, like, how do we make the online experience great without sacrificing our in-person experience? Mm. Because they're both important. I mean, meeting together, for instance, my wife, she's the kind of person that she went to college. She loved being in the classroom. That's where she wants to be. She wants to, or when she's working, she wants to be in the office. Me, give me online schooling and coffee shops all day long. There's different kinds of people. But I think we have to focus on doing certain things that will make the online experience great, but not at the expense of the in-person experience. So things like, making sure your audio feed, and this is something I've come against, making sure your audio feed is set for online. Because I don't know if you've ever like recorded a concert or something like that, and you get back and you're like, man, the audio is terrible, but it mm-hmm. sounded great when I was there. Mm-hmm. Or when you hear somebody singing in a recording, you're like, they sound off key, mm-hmm. but they're not. And that's, you know, that's just how audio translates and all that. But make sure your audio feed is, have a separate feed if you can, to mix just for online. Because it's going to be different in somebody's living room. And the experience has to be different too.
Yeah. Or have a separate, you know, when you think of Teams, you know, have a separate position. One guy's mixing for the room, one guy's mixing for online, mm-hmm. if you can do it, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, cool. That can be difficult, but yeah, if you can.
Give us a little bit of your background. So you're our creative director, but you also serve at Faith Promise in Knoxville. So give us a sense of how big the church is, what you guys are dealing with, and some of your background.
I won't give you my whole life story because it's, you know, I haven't been alive for long, but it takes a lot of twists and turns. But I grew up in church, been in ministry forever, started out as a student pastor, done a little bit of everything. At Faith Promise, I started off here as a filmmaker, jumped on staff, something that I'd never really done before at church, but I loved it, man. Doing the filming creative side, my college degrees in graphic design. So, doing that, Faith Promise, before COVID, we were averaging around between 8,000 and 10,000 a weekend. Here, I like I said, I'm the online campus pastor. I do the I'm also the marketing director. Some of the stuff we've been facing is, you know, we are the biggest thing in Knoxville, the biggest church in Knoxville, probably the biggest church within, you know, from here to Nashville, which is, you know, a couple hundred miles. Not sure how far elevation is the other way, so we're not that big, but our biggest thing was, when do we come back? You know, we saw other churches around us, you know, coming back a couple of weeks ago, and we're like, should we come back? How much do we follow the guidelines? I think every church has been really struggling with that. Like, where are we at? Because we want to do the right thing, but we also want to get back in, start doing stuff. So that's our biggest struggle is when, and we have come back, you know, we put in a lot of security measures in place and all that. Our kids ministry is not back running yet. We're coming back with that this weekend. Our student ministry is not back running yet. That's coming back next week. Our staff and volunteers are all wearing masks. So, you know, we're doing our best while being in person, but mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest struggle any church is having is when, you know, how do we do this in the right way?
What have you seen attendance wise? Have you seen half and half, you know, that are coming back? And half that are still online, what's your kind of breakdown?
Well, so that's been pretty crazy to watch. So the first week we were back, we actually had more online still than we had in person.
Yeah.
And how we measure online is specifically for attendance. Like our core metric is not going to be attendance online because that's just the nature of online doesn't work well for that. But when we do count online, we count peak live viewers. So the most people on at the same time. And so based on that, we saw more people the first weekend. And then the second weekend, our online attendance actually rose. We actually saw a spike, which I wasn't expecting, to be honest.
Did you see a decrease in your physical location?
No, actually we didn't. Okay. So we saw both of them rise up a little bit. And now I think it's leveling out because this is our third week back, this past weekend. We saw a pretty significant decrease in our online attendance. Without trying to go into too much, I mean, there's a lot of detail in that, but
screen fatigue and then
it's really all about the Facebook algorithm. That's where we saw the biggest drop because our we have three venues for online. We have YouTube, Facebook, and we have our online campus, which we use Church Online Platform. Mm-hmm. The online campus, Church Online Platform, has been fairly consistent through all of this. We actually didn't see a decrease in that really at all.
Facebook mainly.
Facebook mainly, and that's because of the algorithm, you know, how the reach works, you know, what... So when we were in the middle of COVID, our entire staff, which is about 90 people, were on every service. They were talking to people, they were engaging, creating all this stuff. Now that we're back live, that the staff have jobs to do on Sundays. You know, they right. can't sit in their living room, be on service every time. So when we saw that decrease, the algorithm caught up with us this weekend. And so we saw our reach decrease. And without the reach, without something popping up saying, hey, by the way, did you know that Faith Promise is live right now? Some people, you know, just didn't jump on, but we are continuing to see an increase in our in-person as well. So that's good, you know.
Cool. All right. So I want to talk through a few things that you've put together that really specifically hits how to rebound from COVID. So how churches can shift, can still focus on their online and kind of, you know, what does the rebound look like? What is the way forward look like? So I'm going to dive into this. And we were talking about attendance, but let's talk through this a little bit more. So one thing that you've written is that it's not about attendance, it's about opportunities. So, so how do you think that we're going to measure attendance going forward? And how do you see churches changing their metrics of what attendance, you know, their attendance measurements look like?
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, I don't think we're ever going back to the way it was. I don't think we can ever expect to be where we were. Maybe we can, I don't know, but I think it's different. I read an article a few years ago. I think it was by Andy Stanley, but I'm not sure. But he referenced something called the Omni Church. And basically what that's talking about is church anywhere. I mean, we live in an age right now where we can get, you know, I can watch Elevation, I can watch Hillsong, and I can watch my own church online. You know, I can do it on Tuesday, I can do it on Thursday. You know, when I was growing up, you had church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. That's when you got your church. Maybe you could hear a preacher on the radio, but that was about it. Now there's, you know, content, stuff coming out. So that will change how we look at attendance, because we have a generation now, Generation Z coming up, and you know, even millennials are consuming this content. And so what we're seeing is kind of a trend where they feel, well, you know, I watch the church online, so you know, I do go to church. So it's going to become more about the opportunities, meaning more about the connections, more about the relationships, more about discipleship than it is about how many people are in the seats on the weekends. And I think we're going to start seeing people, churches specifically, pushing more into those groups, because we saw Zoom really take off. You know, Microsoft Teams, Zoom, Google Hangouts, whatever you used, really took off and created a forum for online groups, which I think is something that a lot of people really hadn't considered before. What does it look like to build an online relationship? And I think we're in a time right now where social media has really fostered that. You know, starting back in, I jumped on Facebook, I think back in 2006 is when I started really diving into social media. You know, there's MySpace and all that, but I think social media has brought us to a point where creating and fostering online connections creates opportunities. And I think the church moving forward is going to really lean into that. They're going to have to. We're all going to have to see what measure relationships, and how do you measure relationships? It's by how people are connected, how they're interacting with people. Do they go to group? Are they hanging out with people outside of group and building relationships with the church?
Mm-hmm. Do you think that people are going to feel screen fatigue too much? They're going to be like, you know, I'm not. Is it going to be a similar situation? In that, you know, people don't, are people going to feel more connected in person or online? What's your take on discipleship and small groups?
That's going to be, that's a great question. and it depends on your generation and your personality, because there's going to be a Generation Z. My daughter, she's 9 years old. She's Generation Z. She has an iPod or phone, you know, whatever you want to call it. And she's connected to that thing. Like she's watching YouTube videos. She's talking to her friends. She doesn't feel disconnected from her friends, even though she hasn't seen them since March, because school has been canceled here since March. Mm-hmm. But she FaceTimes them. And so she doesn't get screen fatigue like we do.
Right.
Like me, I can get like, okay, I want to actually hang out with somebody. And I think there's going to be an element of, there is going to have to be a place where, I mean, we're social creatures. We want to talk to people. You know, we're made to be in community, and community has to be in person at some point. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be elements of that, but there's going to be an older generation that doesn't want to do FaceTime. They don't want to do Zoom. They're tired of it. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing so many people push for getting back into the church in the building, which is fine.
Yeah.
Is people are getting like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be in person with people. I want to worship with people. I want to have my family, my friends around me. So it's a little bit of both. I think there's generational gap in there a little bit, where screen fatigue is less for people who grew up on screens.
Good point.
It's a normal. So,
okay, let's talk about thinking small. So do we need to be intentional about how we are crafting our experiences for the small screen? Or maybe a different question is, how should we be intentional about that?
Yeah. That goes back to the opportunities. We have an opportunity now to focus more on the individual than the collective. I mean, I know it can feel, with restaurants opening back up, with churches coming back, opening, it can feel like COVID's over. It's not. And for a lot of people, it's not, especially for people who are outside the church. They don't go to church. It's not what they do. And so they realize it's not over. And so thinking small is focusing on the individual, create scalable plans to guide people on their spiritual journey, whether it's in person or on the screen. Because in most states, or in a lot of states, there's still a limit on how many people can meet together at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want groups of more than 10 in some places. You don't want groups of more than 5. So that's thinking small. And that creates relationships. It creates an opportunity to build intentional relationships and guide people on a spiritual journey and help them take their next steps. We have an opportunity to be a lot more intimate in our relationships. Like Jesus, when he was with his disciples, you know, it talked about how he had hundreds of people following him everywhere he went. We hear stories about the 12 disciples. That was his, you know, who he poured into most. And then you hear about his three closest, who were his inner circle, where when he walked away from even the 12 disciples, he really built that relationship with him, so much so that when he was on the cross, he looked down to John and said, you know, that's your mom now. You take care of her. I can't. And so that's what building intimate relationships looks like. And I think we have an opportunity to get away from focusing so much on the big corporate worship, which is, I'm not saying it's not important, because corporate worship is important, coming together as a church body is, but thinking small and building things for the small screen may not look like just streaming your service. It may look like this: getting on a Zoom call, recording it, putting it out there, content for people to consume. Getting on a live, having your pastor jump on a live and talk back and forth with people, just have conversations like, hey, I don't have a real plan here. Jump on, ask me questions. Let's talk. Let's get. Mm-hmm. So that adds that screen element. But thinking small is not all about just the screen. It's about in-person relationships as well.
So let's talk. Let's kind of move this toward the worship experience. So yeah. How do we do things differently, knowing that we're going to have to minister and be very, very intentional about both the in-person and the online gathering?
Yeah. One thing that I've come up against, and it hasn't been bad, but again, it goes back to that. People sometimes can feel like, well, COVID's coming to an end because we're opening back up, and really it's not. And so, something that can be lost is, okay, we did online because we had to. Now let's go back to focusing on the in-person. Online, we'll just keep streaming. It won't be a big deal. Whereas during COVID, a lot of people were creating like a small intimate space where the pastor was sitting and the worship team was around him. I don't know if I watched Elevations even. They were on their stage most of the time, but they had their worship leaders spread out around their pastor, and the pastor was speaking. He was talking, like turned around talking to them and stuff. Like, I know they're a bigger church and they have a lot more resources, but it was still intimate and small, and it was built for online. And so we need to keep that in mind, that some of our experiences need to be built for online, whether that means having maybe on during the week, having your worship team and your pastor doing the same service they're going to do on the weekend, but in the same style of setting, or taking, even if you're going to do a big corporate setting style worship, if you don't have time for your whole team to get together or whatever the case is, doing things intentionally that speak to the online, acknowledging people who are online, even just as much as pastor getting up there saying, "Hey, welcome everybody. And to you guys who are online this week, right, you know, we're glad to see you." So that's just those things that keep the focus on making the online experience great. You know, make sure the cameras are good. The quality doesn't need to drop. It needs to stay the same. And that'll help build momentum in person.
Should our services be shorter?
Online? Yeah, I think so.
And what if I'm in person? Do I shorten it knowing that the online, it's going to affect online if it goes longer?
I think we can trim the fat. I don't think that we always need to do everything. Because, for instance, announcements. I grew up in a church where they had an announcement time. There was about 10, 15 minutes in service where they just went through line by line, here's what's going on. I mean, let's shorten that. Let's take that and let's push that online. We live in a very connected world where everything's at our fingertips. Let's push that to digital. I mean, just hit the highlights. You don't need to hit every single event that's happening that week. Find elements in service that aren't strictly necessary and trim them out or do them differently.
Give me some examples. Yeah, announcements, instance, but what else?
Yeah. So we've seen a trend that online experiences specifically, people engage with worship, like maybe 1 to 2 worship songs. Mm-hmm. After that, you start losing people. It's hard to sing in your living room. Maybe be real intentional about the worship songs you do and how many of them you do, because worship is an incredible time, and I don't want to diminish that. It's just as important, but you don't necessarily have to do 5 songs to get people really into it. You can do 2 or 3, and it's still just as powerful of an experience. You know, messages, you know, sometimes, and for all the pastor, I've been a pastor, I've done this, you know, I've taught, I trained a guy, in student pastoring, and he preached for 1.5 hours. And I was like, dude, you don't need to preach for that long. Mm-hmm. So maybe shorten the messages, make them more concise, and really relate them to your audience. Just do what you can do, what you feel comfortable doing, because you may not, as a pastor, you may say, hey, God's leading me to preach for 30, 45 minutes. He's given me this, do it. You know, follow what God wants you to do. Don't limit God by time, but also don't do things that are unnecessary. You know, you don't need to. One thing we do here, and it's very, I think it's very important. You know, we do altar calls. You know, hey, come if you need prayer specifically. You know, the Bible says, you know, call upon the elders of the church for prayer, all that. So, but what we do is, like, we have a worship song at the end. Say, hey, if you need prayer, come on up. You know, we're here. And as people are dismissing, as people are leaving the building, as you know, the online is wrapping up, there are still people out front. Praying. Mm-hmm. So that, and that's not limited, and that time is still there, but it doesn't take time in the service. And I know that may sound a little cold, a little callous, but it's not meant to be. It's meant to be, you know, let's make our moments intentional.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Let's talk about ideas, that may have failed. How do you let something go? How do you know this idea is working? We need to stick with it. And this idea, you know what, not really working, yeah. You know, be okay with letting it go.
Yeah, there's a lot to this, letting things go. It's hard, especially when you come up with an idea. Like for me, I'm an idea person, and it's hard to let it go because it becomes your baby. You know, you're like, no, I want this to work. And you push and you push. So what you have to do to help protect yourself against that, and maybe you're not that kind of person. Maybe you're just like, I don't care, I'll throw it away. Set a goal. What's the win? Set a goal at the very beginning, set a time frame, and then at the end of it, measure. So how you can set the goal and how you can measure is you can do research. If it's something that other churches are doing, look at what they're doing, look at how long it took them to succeed, and then go from there. But you also need to make sure you define what your success is. So you say, you know, why are you doing it on the campus? Well, we want to reach people who can't come to church. Okay, that's not deep enough. Why do you want to do that? So you have to really dig deep to find the why, find what's going to be the win, give your time frame, and then you'll know at the end of that time frame, you'll say, this didn't work at all. We didn't come close to our goal. Let's get rid of it. Or it worked pretty well. We didn't hit our goal. It worked, so we could keep doing it and maybe see how long it takes to build. Set another goal, another time frame, and keep going. Or if it's taking you backwards, let's say you're doing something online and you're starting to lose your audience, you're starting to lose engagement, cut it quick. So you set your goals, but if you start seeing things pulling you down, you know, cut the cord, cut the rope, and let them fall. You don't need those things dragging you down. So you just have to really be okay with letting it go. Come at it from a different angle if you have to. Re-strategize. And that kind of plays into consistency. You know, I've said a lot of times, consistency is your friend. You want to be as consistent as possible. And so how does that look like when you're talking about letting it go? You know, if I'm trying new things and then I'm cutting them, how's that consistent? Well, you're being consistent in your quality. So you're saying, hey, this isn't working. So you want people to trust that what they're going to get from you is going to be beneficial for them. It's going to be helpful and it's going to be good. And so if you set your goals and you realize it's not working, letting it go is also another form of consistency.
So at what point, how do we know to cut something? How do we know to be consistent?
It's that goal you set every time. It's going to be, if you look at it, you have that goal. And if you look at it and you're saying either that wasn't the right goal, that may not be the right goal. You may see like, I really like doing this. That wasn't the right goal for this. Let's change the goal, come at it from a different angle. But if you're hitting your goal or you're getting close to your goal, close enough as you're comfortable, keep going with it. If you're not hitting your goal consistent, if you're not being consistent with it, then let it go.
Do you have an example at Faith Promise of maybe an idea that you thought of that you thought was awesome, and then when you guys started to implement it, you're like,
Oh man, there are several. When I let things go, I try and forget about them because, you know, there are.
Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot.
I just can't think of any right now, but there definitely are things that I've let go, and I'll probably think of something later. If I do, I'll jump in and throw it out there.
Yeah, cool. All right, kind of as we wrap up, what do you think of the next few months? What does it look like? I know we've talked about this a little bit, but as we start making decisions on schools and restaurants and other things, I was going out the other day trying to just look for a Starbucks that I could hang out in, not happening. I did find a coffee shop that that was open that I could hang out in for a while, but you know, a lot of restaurants are still very cautious. Even if they're open, their dining is open, you know, obviously there's circles on the floor and marks on the floor of keeping your distance. And that's the case everywhere, grocery stores and everywhere, of course. How should churches respond to that? What kind of things should we put in place? What kind of things should we be a little bit more loosey-goosey with?
So I have opinions. I'm going back to my pastoring opinions. And not everybody's going to agree with this. And I'm totally fine with that because, you know, I don't know everything there is to know. But what I would say is that if I can get a little bit back into the theology of it, is when Jesus left, he said, go into all the world, you know, into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But the church started in Jerusalem and they started like just really forming in that city. None of them wanted to go out because they're all in community, all hanging out. And then they started getting persecuted from the Roman government. It started, you know, people getting killed, people, you know, put in jail, and that forced them to move out. And I think that's kind of where we are now. It's not quite the same thing. And I'm not just trying to say God caused, you know, them to all be persecuted, but he used that moment to spread his kingdom. And I think when COVID came around, he used that moment to start, I mean, more churches online than ever before. Mm-hmm. I believe more people reached than ever before. People were, they couldn't get to a church building, but they were looking for answers. They were jumping online. And we've even had people who come, who have come for the first time, now that we're back open, who never came before, but they came online during COVID. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's it's a big deal to realize that, you know, God used this moment that we can't go back to normal, but as the world around us starts to open up, churchgoers, people who've gone to church all their lives, they really want to get back in. They want to get back to their routine. They want to get back, just like you want to go out to eat at a restaurant because you know, that's what you do. It's community. You want to get back into church because that's community. I think we need to be extra intentional about the things we do. Mm-hmm. As the church, I believe the church sets the example. I believe the church sets the tone for, can set the tone for creativity in the world, and the church can set the tone, set the example for, you know, how to lead the world. So as restaurants open, you know, we should follow guidelines to the extent we can, and even put more in place. Like, let's go the extra mile. Let's do a little bit more. You know, we're going to open up, great, but what's everything we can do to make this, to make people who aren't Christians, to make people who are looking at us, what are you going to do? Instead of fighting, saying, well, we deserve to be able to go back to church, it's our right. Instead of, you know, fighting the government, let's say, hey, let's work hand in hand, and the people, and be a testimony to those who are far from God, who don't believe in church. Let's be even more so and say, yeah. You know, you say, you know, we need to have some 6 feet apart. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take out chairs from our auditorium, and we're going to split this up. And yes, we're going to have less people in the building. Maybe we're going to have more services. Maybe the staff's going to have to work harder than they've ever worked before. But we're doing this to show the community how much we care about them. And I think, yeah, by showing communities how much we care, that's showing them the love of God.
Yeah. Yeah. I know some churches are, in fact, the church that I attend, there's not that much restriction at all. There's no separating the pews or anything like that. And so there's some on that end, and there's also some that haven't even, you know, aren't opening back up anytime soon. So I think that there is, you know, you really need to kind of check your area and check the regulations and check, yeah, to see what's the smartest path. And yeah, I think it's, you know, cautious but not crazy. Is kind of where I'm landing. Is, you know, it's not all a conspiracy. It's very real. Mm-hmm. But it's also not severe lockdowns forever. I'm kind of in a middle ground of, let's, you know, be cautiously optimistic. Especially as the death mortality rate keeps going down, depending on what stat you read each day.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, man, thank you for these ideas. I think it's going to give churches some great ideas to think about as they're coming back, as they're rebounding from COVID. And even though we're titling this episode that, rebounding, I think you're right. You know, it's not going away. It's not gone yet. It's not like, oh, that's completely gone. Now we need to, you know, that's not the case. It's, you know, how are we rebounding from the severity of what we were in a couple of months ago?
That's right.
So, well, man, any parting thoughts as we head out?
Yeah. I mean, the world is hurting right now. I think it's great that churches are opening because, you know, they're going to have a place when they need it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's be what Jesus wanted us to be. Let's show the love. Let's be the light and the example, and reach out. Don't stop. You know, I believe the church can be the most innovative place in the world, and should be.
Yeah.
And these moments like COVID, and you know, back in when 9/11 happened, all these tragic moments, they are a breeding ground for innovation. And so, yeah, try things, experiment, and, you know, don't give up.
Right. Right. You can always let it go. You can always pivot and do something else. But yeah, try stuff. This is the moment to get creative. Well, man, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. As always, you're the man. Appreciate it.
Good to be here. See you later.
Hey, guys, I want to let you know about a powerful new worship experience opener that we have on our site called Hear From God. It is a short 30-second service opener that you can use at the beginning of your online or physical worship experience to get people ready for worship. You can also use it as a generic sermon bumper right into your message as well. It's called Hear From God. It's available on our website now. Just go to 1230.media/hearfromgod. 1230.media/hearfromgod. And you can get $5 off the video with coupon code HEAR5. That's HEAR5, the number 5, HEAR5 at checkout. That's code HEAR5 for $5 off this video for your church at 1230.media/hearfromgod.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Well, hey guys, thank you so much for listening and watching the show this week. I want to thank Minnow for sponsoring our show. Be sure to check them out at GoMinnow.com for great kids programming for your kids' worship experiences. I'm really excited about next week's show. It's going to be a little bit different as I welcome Daniel Gill to the podcast. Now, Daniel has served as a worship leader at Dwelling Place Church in Houston, Texas. And over the last few years, you might know him as one of the most popular ninjas on the NBC show American Ninja Warrior. Now, I recorded an interview with Daniel earlier this year, and with COVID, we shifted it down some in our schedule. So we're circling back to it. It's one of the most interesting interviews that I've done this year. Daniel is a really, really cool guy, and you're going to love hearing from him. I'll also share an interview with my friend, singer-songwriter Meredith Andrews. She'll be on the show next week as well. So next week is going to be all about how to stay humble and really seek the Lord for what He has you doing as you are serving your church, making Sunday happen each and every week. Both of these individuals, both Daniel and Meredith, have played a huge role in making Sunday happen, both as worship leaders in churches around the country. In Houston, Meredith was at a church in Chicago, and she also leads worship through her concerts and live events. So Daniel Gill and Meredith Andrews, both on the podcast next week. So we're releasing new podcast episodes every single Monday for you. We've also released some bonus episodes of the show, and we are loading up the blog several times a week the last few months. It's all free, absolutely free training to help you transform the worship experiences at your church. That's what we're all about, media content and training to help you make Sunday happen. We'll go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.